Man, it is warm in those stair rails on the way down to get water. We had like four water fountains in this station. We now have one. And it's right across the big boss's office, and I'm always nervous to go down there. You never know who's watching. Like, the level of niceness from this level to the next level is uncanny. You go down there, you think you're like in a New York suite. You come up here, you're like, you just in like a rundown city.
They got rid of the water cooler. Yeah. Those up here.
The only one that exists is down there by the main boss's office.
That was the best one.
You go down the stairs one level, second door on the right. Fresh water. Speaking of fresh water, going to need some because it's almost that time of year. Hopefully you're staying hydrated and safe. I know when I go play golf this time of year, I stay hydrated. With 12 ounces of Busch Light. But the Chiefs did announce today their 2024 training camp schedule. Harold Kuntz of Fox 4, get ready to head to St. Joe, Chiefs fans. Sunday, July 21st, practice 9:15 a.m. Monday, July 22nd, practice 9:15 a.m. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Those are your first dates, July 21st, July 22nd, July 23rd, 4th, and 5th, and 26th, and then July 27th. It's always interesting this time of year because I think there's a lot of us that normally will go through the season of, you know, a lot of us will go through the summer and, you know, vacation time and pool weekends and sports and Little League and all that sort of stuff kind of helps pass the time to get to training camp. Today, when I got this schedule, I was like, eh, cool. Whereas normally when I see the first Sunday day, July 21st, 9:15, I know for a fact where I'll be on that date. Because the last 3 years, I have been in St. Joe on that date. The show on Sunday starts at 9 a.m. and we go till noon. And we normally have Pete Sweeney and a Chiefs player. And we wrap up practice. And then we drive back home to Lee Summit. But this year, I was like, you know what? One of two things stick out. One is, I'm not as enthused for training camp. Not because I'm not ready for football, I'm not, but because it made me also think that my dream of what I wanted this year to be could possibly come true. And Grant, what was that dream that we had so many months ago?
You wanted to have a lead segment beyond the Royals and not the Chiefs when you're in St. Joe. You're looking out at the practice field and you want to be thinking about Bobby Witt Jr.
Correct. And when I look at that and I look at the schedule and I go all the way down to July 21st, you know who the Royals will be playing July 21st? The White Sox. They'll be coming off a three-game series of the White Sox, and they will be previously playing the Red Sox. And there's a chance the Royals will be able to sweep the White Sox and have even more wins than they obviously have now, and to see where they are in the standings. And my dream at July 21st was that I wanted my opening segment at St. Joe to be, there's Patrick Mahomes and Carson Wentz and whoever else in a yellow jersey. There's Hollywood Brown running sprints, catching deep balls from Patrick Mahomes. There's Travis Kelce with his new style of haircut, which I'm still confused on what it is. Messy on the top, very thin and trimmed on the sides. I don't know what we're calling it yet. But normally that's how we lead it. Hey, here's the Chiefs. They're back. Three-peat, baby. We're ready to go for football. No. We're going to be talking about the Royals on July 21st. I guarantee it. And I'm almost going to guarantee that we're going to at the start of the show. When you hear the piano kick in and you hear the wind and you hear my voice kick in and complain about how hot it is in St. Joe. And then it's the Royals go for the sweep today against the White Sox. Vern's going to have you at noon. And where I want to start the show is, they're 2.5 games away from first place against Cleveland. It all comes true. That's what we wanted training camp to be, which is kind of ironic. right? Here's a lot of people pining and ready for football. And in case you missed it, the Chiefs announced their training camp schedule. The opening practice date is July 21st at 9:15 a.m. in St. Joe. July 21st through July 27th. And it's very interesting, right? Because when you think about where we set off in this summer of spot starts of after hours. By the way, we'll be back tomorrow night, 6 to 7:30. Vern will take over at 7:30 as on the West Coast against Oakland. And it's interesting enough to me because at first, sometimes when you make these bold takes, these bold statements, you're half serious. Like, I hope, and this was before the Royals even started the season, I said, I hope there's a chance that they're as competitive all the way to the mid-July take. Right, this will obviously be post All-Star game. And as that progressively gets to that date, right, we're at June 17th. We're just a little bit over a month. None of us here can think, oh, there's a chance that they're going to fall off. No, dude, that ain't happening. And now by the time that we get there, it's actually going to be something of existence. And I'm extremely happy. Because look, man, training camps announced. Normally that's all the times when families will look. I know I've got a buddy of mine that he's got a little boy and they always want to get to one date. And it's normally like during the week when he has an off day, he's like, yeah, we're going to go Wednesday the 23rd or whatever the date that is. Okay, cool. Should be a fun time. Or they'll try to figure out whenever I'm going to be down there, we're going to try to come on a weekend. Fair enough. And so now, football, which always seems to get here before we know it because they always play so deep into the season, right, to February. Normally it's a Super Bowl or an AFC Championship game. And by the time it's over, the draft's around the corner. Then it's OTAs, mini camp. And then all of a sudden it's, you know, boom, we're in St. Joe. And now we're at a point as Chiefs and Royals fans where we get to look at this and be like, yeah, the Chiefs are getting ready to have training camp, but instead of going to training camp on Sunday, I think I'm going to go to the Royals game at 1:10 against the White Sox. Instead of going to, or maybe you go to training camp during the day on Monday, and then you come right back home and go straight to the Royals game. How many times have you done that in the last 8 years? Probably never. And now we get to have, in Kansas City, a summer where we've seen dates announced, and where we already know where dates are announced through the Royals schedule, where it's going to bleed blue into red. It's not going to be a stoppage gap in between two seasons. We are back to a point where it is finally, hey, guess what? Here's this wave of blue. However far it goes, it's going to eventually just go straight into red. Because I've already told you, September 5th, the opening night of the NFL, the Chiefs and the Ravens. September 6th, 7th, and 8th is a home game series against the Minnesota Twins. So you will have the mecca of base of football in your yard on Thursday night, September 5th, and there's a chance that the Royals are taking a chance to knock Minnesota out of the Central and extend their lead in wild card play. And sometimes wishes come true when you ask for training camp day one, topic one, to be Royals while the Chiefs take the field en route to a three-peat. What a time to be alive in Kansas City sports. Coming up on the other side, we are 15 minutes away. Do we make the bet or not? Grant will be the deciding factor of that. The NBA Finals, what it means for two players moving forward, win or loss for both of them. It's Grant Nicholson of Dusty Likens. This is After Hours. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Back here on After Hours, Grant Nicholson with you, a.k.a. George Kittle's doppelganger, with Dusty Likens, a.k.a. the crown jewel. Grant, we've locked in our parlay. The crown jewel parlay tonight as the NBA Finals get ready to start. I need to get that on the TV ASAP. The three-leg parlay tonight, Grant. Boston Celtics -7. Second leg is Jason Tatum over 5.5 assists, followed by Derek White with 15.5. I'll explain why all three of them are together. I think Boston wins this game comfortably. I think it's over. I think it's theirs. I think the garden is rocking. I think everybody's excited for this. We've seen this before with gentlemen sweeps, right? We know this exists. You lose the third, or that you lose game four on the road because your starters don't necessarily play. You kind of half-ass it. Sorry for cussing. And you just try to get back home and win it for the home crowd. So I think Boston comfortably wins. I think 7 is fair. Earlier tonight, I was going to alt point it to 10. 5.5 assists for Jason Tatum. I think Jason Tatum has somewhere along the lines tonight of 18 to 20, 7-7. Nothing super crazy because he doesn't have to, right? He's got Jrue Holiday. He's got Jaylen Brown, the veteran Al Horford, and he's got Derek White. I think Derek White is good for probably three-pointers. That's 9 points. I think a few of those threes come from assists from Jason Tatum as he draws the defense in. So the crown jewel parlay tonight, if you want to tail along, it's plus 450. I've won my last two bets with Vern in baseball, but basketball is a different sport. Boston -7, Jason Tatum over 5.5, and Derek White points 15.5. So we're looking for 16, 6, and 7. I think we can get all of that tonight. I think the series is over. I think this series has been insanely, insanely terrible. And I think when it's all said and done after tonight, I think we look at it from two perspectives. Does a win help Jason Tatum more, or does a loss help Luka Doncic more? Luka's still very young. Isn't he like 25, 24?
Something like that, yeah.
Very young.
He's not 26.
No. I think he's 24 or 25. He's clearly the up-and-coming next sort of figure in the NBA, because when you want to be that guy, you've got to have two recipes intact. You got to be really good, and you got to be kind of controversial. And a lot of people either think that Luka Doncic bitches and moans too much, and other people are like, yeah, he can do whatever he wants because the dude's just a stone-cold killer. And what are the two narratives that you look at in both of these guys' careers? Can Tatum get it done? Can Tatum win a title? The kid from Chaminade, St. Louis, right? He's was the number one recruit in the nation. He was the number one pick of the NBA draft. He had the promise. He was everything, right? Goes to Boston. They lose in the finals. They lose in the Eastern Conference Finals. They just never get it done. And everybody's kind of looked at Jason Tatum and been like, look, this guy could be a top five player in the NBA. Because you look at the NBA right now, and it's ran by what? Giannis, Jokic, probably throw Luka in there. Probably could throw, I mean, there's the top five, but Tatum's name normally doesn't come up. Some people might put Embiid in there. I don't know. We might pump the brakes on JoJo.
Jason's like right on the edge of that number.
He's like always like 6 or 7.
7, yeah.
Correct. And then some things that people always say is that, well, when the games get bigger, Jason Tatum kind of shrinks. And now they've kind of built him a team, and this team, the Boston Celtics, in my opinion, have been the best team the entire season. Record-wise, seeding-wise, they're the number one seed of the East. I think the East was tougher than the West. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I could be wrong. I don't know. But to do what they did, and some people might even already put Anthony Edwards or what's the kid from Oklahoma City? They might put him over
Shea.
They might put Shea Gilgeous-Alexander over Jason Tatum. That's just what from what I've seen, from what I've followed in the NBA. But I also wonder that if a loss tonight at a 4-1 series, does that help or hurt Luka more? And I think it might help him more than it hurts him. Because now Luka can say, look, I got you there. I'm 24 years old. You guys need to bring me another superstar. We got Kyrie. It's worked. You have me. If we could add one more piece, kind of like Boston has Jrue Holiday, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, plus other players around, like Hozier's there, Porzingis if he's healthy, Al Horford's a veteran they can lean on at times, Derek White's been decent. But it makes me wonder if it helps Luka, as it's like, okay, Luka now knows, and the Dallas Mavericks now know, they can get there, they can put pieces together, they can be a team that can be a force to be reckoned with out of the West moving forward. Because who knows what the hell the Lakers are going to do? Who knows what the Phoenix Suns are going to do? Right? Nobody knows there. And the West can kind of be up for anybody next year. Now we'll see what, you know, other teams do when it comes to the NBA offseason, which is always electric, which is when you want to put your alerts on for Woj, because you'll get a Woj bomb like every 4 hours. But you flip the script over to Jason Tatum, and you look at what Jason Tatum has done in his career. What's the big thing? We just talked about it. Can he win one? And then you kind of think of what a Jason Tatum comparison is in other leagues. Is he Drew Brees? Right? A franchise player that probably is going to win a title tonight. Get you one? Can he get you more? Or is one all you really need from Tatum at the end of the day, who's what Grant Nicholson just said, a player that's normally ranked anywhere from like 4 to 7 or 4 to 8. Drew Brees, right? Tons of passing yards. But when you look down at the end of the day and you start naming off your top 5 greatest quarterbacks of all time, Drew Brees is never in the top 5. When you lift off your top 7, you start getting to that murky water where it's like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, where do we rank these guys? Kurt Warner, right? We start getting to those names. Whereas, like, if Jason Tatum can reel off a couple more titles at the end of the year, you know, end of his career, he wins 3 titles, 2 titles, then what's the narrative on Jason Tatum? But right now, does a title help him or hurt him in the future of his career? Now, I guess you could always say, well, winning a title never hurts anybody. But does he still have that desire, and does he have that sort of mantra to keep going and try to be one of the best players, or does he really even care about that? Because he's one of the most emotionalist players I've ever seen in the NBA. There's never really a moment in a game where Tatum will do the, you know, almost like the James Shields rah-rah, where Luka's the complete opposite. And this is just a final of two players at a crossroads where it could go either way with a win and a loss tonight.
It's kind of a fascinating crossroads, too, because it could go so many different ways for both these guys the rest of the way. Just because I think there's a scenario, too, where Luka sees this as like, oh, I can make the finals whenever I want. Like, I don't have to try. And he can keep, like, being a total loser on the court and just screaming at the refs constantly.
And he just happens to be that guy.
He may not take a good lesson from this loss. Like, hey, maybe if you complained less, like, things might go your way.
Right. The other thing that I think is interesting is that sometimes big-time losses, and I'm sorry, thanks to the 75, Tatum was the 3rd overall pick. But I know that at the time when he was in high school, he was the number 1 overall recruit in the country. I believe he was going to go to Duke if he was going to go to college.
Yeah, he did go to Duke.
He went to Duke, yeah.
Yeah.
Played 1 year and left.
And that was a weird draft. Markelle Fultz went 1st overall. Lonzo 2nd?
Was that the Lonzo Ball year?
Might have been. It was one of those 2 years.
You know, his dad, what a hell of a promoter.
And then all of his kids stunk.
Yeah. They all got paid, though. Well, not all of them, but two of them got paid. Yeah, Tatum, the Duke player. See, like, that's the other thing, too, is, like, it's like you think about Tatum at Duke, like, you don't really remember it. Right? Like, Kyrie, I remember at Duke because I was like, all right, this guy does not need to be in college basketball. Whereas Tatum, maybe, but he was like a 6th man off the bench at Duke. I just also hate Boston sports. And I know I've said that enough times, but it's like, I know what's happening tonight.
I was talking to my NBA buddies, and it's like, Individually, I like all of the Boston players. But you put them all on the Celtics in that roster, in that building.
Right.
And my cholesterol just goes through the roof. I hate those guys.
Yeah, it gives me acid reflux.
The same guys that rooted for Tom Brady are still rooting for these guys, and I can't stand it.
It's brutal. Doris Burke, J.J. Redick. Is this J.J. Redick's last game as an announcer?
Could be. Get the Woj bomb tomorrow at like 6 a.m. J.J. Redick.
Yeah, told me last night at the TD Garden he's taking the Laker job.
You agreed to a deal.
If he gets the Laker job, he better send Dan Hurley like a bottle of Dom. Because no matter what J.J. Redick does the rest of his career, that'll be the greatest feat of his life.
You think Dan Hurley was actually interested in the job?
No.
I think he was boys with Adrian Wojnarowski, and he was like, hey, give me this extension.
Right.
Push me over the finish line here. UConn's kind of waffling, like, drill up some intrigue. He was like, all right, Lakers show.
Yeah, I think the Hurley thing was interesting because I think the Hurley thing was, and again, this is all speculation. I think three-peats and like legacies are something that certain individuals are very addicted to, right? Like, I would be addicted to like being able to do sports radio in this town for like 15 straight years. That'd be something where I'd be like, not a lot of people have done that. That means I've done something well enough to where I don't need to leave or where I'm forced out. And I think the other thing too is like, I mean, because how many times have we seen Bill Self's name attached to blank NBA job? And you get to hear and see. And I don't know if Hurley or Self do this. I don't know if they're that egotistical. Maybe Bill is. But it's one of those things where like, I'm going to put my name out there and then I want to see what the local pub is. Or I want to hear what the local spiders are saying. And then it's like, oh man, everybody in wherever in UConn, Connecticut is, you know, they're like nervous. They don't want me like, okay, so I'm loved here. All right, that's good. Or big time names in the city are like, hey dude, if you stay, I promise you this. And it's like, okay. But the thing that's interesting is that I did a take on that where I felt, at least in my opinion, the Los Angeles Lakers job was a job that you just have to take. It's LA, it's the Buss family, it's Showtime, but then there's a lot of stuff as well that's like, well, Anthony Davis is there and I don't want him there. LeBron's there and it's tough to, but I mean, Hurley and LeBron are like boys. So that part was out. It was more so, I think, that he just enjoys the college basketball perspective better than the pros. And it lets me know that there's a little bit of life still attached to college basketball.
Yeah, I think the college thing is he can be like a god at UConn.
And now he is.
Like he can run the town forever. He probably already could, but now he can forever. Where in LA, he'd be there, it'd be cool for like 6 months. And then when the Lakers are 14-22, and he's getting fired after year three.
Right.
The payday's sweet, but then he's going to a new job.
And then you got to think UConn's probably not taking you back.
He's going to a new school. It's probably a good school, still making a ton of money. But then you're like a two-school guy. It changes.
And there's a lot of people like to go out on their own terms. And they like to know when the moment's right. Look, Hurley's still young. If they get a three-peat and he sticks around for another couple of years and he solidifies UConn as one of the best college teams of all time and he gets bored with it and all of a sudden he's, you know, 60 years old, and he's like, okay, I'll go coach now. I'll go jump. But there's something about coaching, too, that needs to be remembered. Sometimes you're better off coaching young, up-and-coming talent that are technically kids as opposed to getting to the NBA where everybody's kind of got a paycheck, knows their role, and they've got their ego, and it's like, all right, I'm not the same coach.
And almost everyone on the team in the NBA is making more money than you.
Correct.
Like, you're one of the easiest people to replace in those positions.
Somebody says, Boston sports make my nuts itch. Fair.
Just get that checked out.
Yeah. Definitely need to get that green itch checked out there, my guy. 913-586-7610. This is After Hours. Coming up on the other side, I saw something that was kind of funny because we do this every year in football. Because your team that you follow and that you like is always on this list. Now it's baseball season, and your team that you like is on this list. Also, coming up 30 years ago today, something very, very historical happened, which you know already probably what that is because you've listened to other shows. I'll explain that as well, plus the out-of-left-field question at 8 o'clock. That's Grant Nicholson. I'm Dusty Likens. This is After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Back here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks for listening into tonight. We've got about a little bit less than an hour and a half left. Seems like it's still the same setting outside that it was when we started the show. Looks like it's still 6 o'clock. Love it. Not mad about it. Nothing better than driving home at 9 o'clock and it's still light outside. Maybe I'm the only one. Makes sitting outside easier on the evenings. I can't decide if tonight's my patio night or if tomorrow is. Probably tomorrow. You big House of the Dragon guy?
No, but I might be. I might get into it.
I think you should.
I was thinking about everybody. Everybody's talking about it. And I was like, I got nothing going on. I'll watch it.
Yep. I mean, because I think in our society where we always end up, is especially in today where like streaming devices are available, you get to a point where there's like no return, right? Like you're like, it's already four seasons in. I don't think I'm going to go back and take the time. This one, we've only had one season and one episode of season two, and season two just started last night. And my God, it was great. Because I don't know if you like Game of Thrones.
I watched like the first, I got to the Red Wedding, mm-hmm. and then I stopped.
I mean, that's a climax right there that really, I'm not mad if that's where you ended.
I watched a few more episodes, but like all my favorite characters were missing.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what to do.
Well, you got to stick it out, you know? Sometimes your favorite players in sports retire and you don't know what you're going to do. And then, bam, here comes Patrick Mahomes, a.k.a. Jon Snow. Just saying. But yeah, House of the Dragon, man. Season 2, Episode 1 last night. How you doing? NBA Finals was supposed to start at 7:30. They've yet to tip off and it's 7:40. Surprise, no one. But MLB is like any other sport, and they give you their power rankings. And going into June 17th, which I believe, looking at a calendar, is today, they gave you their top 10 power rankings. 1, 2, and 3, Yankees, Phillies, Orioles. Followed by Dodgers, Cleveland, Brewers. And then rounding out the final 10, Seattle, Kansas City, Atlanta, and the Twins. So we can look at this from a standpoint of the obvious. The Yankees and Philadelphia Phillies are at the top of the list. Or we can look at the other part of it and say three of the top teams are in the American League Central. And Cleveland, Kansas City, Minnesota, who rank 5th, 8th, and 10th, let you kind of know a little bit of foreshadowing of how the AL Central is going to go the rest of the year. I don't think Detroit's going to be an issue. I don't think that Chicago is obviously an issue. Chicago is basically a free play every time you play them. You got to take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox every single time you play them. Hell, sweep them every time you play them. But it also lets you know that the Kansas City Royals have played in the last 2 weeks three of these teams, four of these teams, four of which are in the top 7. They play the Yankees, they play the Dodgers, they play the Guardians, and they play the Mariners. They split with Cleveland. They took 2 out of 3 from Seattle. They play competitively with the Dodgers. And they only really got blown out twice in 4 games by the best team in baseball. And yet there they sit in the midst of all of this action in the power rankings of baseball at 8th. Not dead last in the top 10, not number 1, but they're 8th out of 10, the Kansas City Royals. And there are reasons why you maintain your spot in power rankings, just like the Chiefs are. It's hilarious to me throughout the season how the Chiefs will go from like number 1 in power rankings, and then they'll go down to like number 4, then they'll go down to like number 7, then by the end of the year they're back to like 2 or 3, and then it's all over again. They're like, well, the Chiefs are champions. I'm not saying that's the route of the Royals, but the Royals have similarities when it comes to what the Chiefs do in power rankings like they'll do this year. The Chiefs lean on their superstars, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. They lean on their coach and Andy Reid. And the way the Royals are going to continuously be able to stay in the power rankings and be a team of, you know, force or a team of sustainability, you lean on Salvador Perez, you lean on Bobby Witt Jr., you lean on Matty Q, and you trust your pitching staff to continue to be what they are. And you have many ingredients that the top power plays in the Major League Baseball organization have to have. You have good starting pitching, you have great defense, you have good team speed. And when you put all that together, you shouldn't see this team slip out of the top 10. And even after going through a grueling gauntlet, after going through all of that in the middle of June, you still see yourself in the top 10 paired with teams like Seattle, took 2 out of 3 against the Brewers. I think earlier in the year, you took 2 out of 3. Cleveland, you split that series. Dodgers, you won 1 on the road and played competitive. And the New York Yankees, yeah, you won 1 of 4, but you only got your tails whipped twice. And it was with a starter and a backup, or it was with an opener and a backup starter. But it's awesome, right? Here we are, June 17th, and you're number 8 in MLB's power rankings, whereas last year you were like number 32 or 31 when it came to top teams, or 30 or 29 in the MLB. Boston and Dallas have started. It is 4-0 Boston early on. There's still 9 minutes left in the first quarter. We'll keep you updated on game 5. Plus, on the other side, 30 years ago today, something very interesting happened when I was just a young buck. Grant wasn't even alive. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Grant Nicholson. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Wake up, kids. You got the dreamer's disease. That's the opening line of the song.
I didn't think you had that one in you. I'll be honest. Yeah.
I loved this song when I was a kid.
It's a good one.
It is one of those ageless songs that even somebody who might not, have ever heard this song from a younger generation, they'd hear it. They'd be like, what was that? What was that song again? Don't worry about it. This is a popular song at like every sort of school dance we'd have. I don't know why I remember that, but I remember it. Now I want to get into something that's interesting, because I think it's interesting the older you get in life, and it's pretty interesting what 30 years can do. Once you look at it from a perspective. And 30 years ago today, we got this.
It's a very serious situation here, and I can tell you one that is hard to believe with my own eyes.
Conan, how would these people know, listening to their radio, what's going on?
That's the only way, Paul, that I could figure out that the word is caught on. But all these people know that what is happening. They have to. Some are actually entering the number one and number two lanes, yelling, waving their hands, trying to be part of something that is quite frankly very, very awful.
Inside this vehicle, this Ford Bronco in Orange County right now, we understand from the CHP officer is O.J. Simpson. He is armed with a gun. Apparently, he's holding a gun to the head of his friend.
Back here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio. Thanks for listening into tonight. We've got about a little bit less than an hour and a half left. Seems like it's still the same setting outside that it was when we started the show. Looks like it's still 6 o'clock. Love it. Not mad about it. Nothing better than driving home at 9 o'clock and it's still light outside. Maybe I'm the only one. Makes sitting outside easier on the evenings. I can't decide if tonight's my patio night or if tomorrow is. Probably tomorrow. You big House of the Dragon guy?
No, but I might be. I might get into it.
I think you should.
I was thinking about everybody. Everybody's talking about it. And I was like, I got nothing going on. I'll watch it.
Yep. I mean, because I think in our society where we always end up, is especially in today where like streaming devices are available, you get to a point where there's like no return, right? Like you're like, it's already 4 seasons in. I don't think I'm going to go back and take the time. This one, we've only had 1 season and 1 episode of season 2, and season 2 just started last night. And my God, it was great. Cause I don't know if you like Game of Thrones.
I watched like the first, I got to the Red Wedding, mm-hmm. and then I stopped.
I mean, that's a climax right there that really, I'm not mad if that's where you ended.
I watched a few more episodes, but like all my favorite characters were missing.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know what to do.
Well, you got to stick it out, you know? Sometimes your favorite players in sports retire and you don't know what you're going to do. And then bam, here comes Patrick Mahomes, a.k.a. Jon Snow. Just saying. But yeah, House of the Dragon, man. Season 2, episode 1 last night. How you doing? NBA Finals was supposed to start at 7:30. They've yet to tip off, and it's 7:40. Surprise, no one. But MLB is like any other sport, and they give you their power rankings. And going into June 17th, which I believe, looking at a calendar, is today, they gave you their top 10 power rankings. 1, 2, and 3, Yankees, Phillies, Orioles. Followed by Dodgers, Cleveland, Brewers. And then rounding out the final 10, Seattle, Kansas City, Atlanta, and the Twins. So we can look at this from a standpoint of the obvious. The Yankees and Philadelphia Phillies are at the top of the list. Or we can look at the other part of it and say three of the top teams are in the American League Central. And Cleveland, Kansas City, Minnesota, who rank 5th, 8th, and 10th, let you kind of know a little bit of foreshadowing of how the AL Central is going to go the rest of the year. I don't think Detroit's going to be an issue. I don't think that Chicago is obviously an issue. Chicago is basically a free play every time you play them. You got to take 2 out of 3 from the White Sox every single time you play them. Hell, sweep them every time you play them. But it also lets you know that the Kansas City Royals have played in the last 2 weeks three of these teams, four of these teams, four of which are in the top 7. They play the Yankees, they play the Dodgers, they play the Guardians, and they play the Mariners. They split with Cleveland. They took 2 out of 3 from Seattle. They play competitively with the Dodgers. And they only really got blown out twice in 4 games by the best team in baseball. And yet there they sit in the midst of all of this action in the power rankings of baseball at 8th. Not dead last in the top 10, not number 1, but they're 8th out of 10, the Kansas City Royals. And there are reasons why you maintain your spot in power rankings, just like the Chiefs are. It's hilarious to me throughout the season how the Chiefs will go from like number 1 in power rankings, and then they'll go down to like number 4, then they'll go down to like number 7, then by the end of the year they're back to like 2 or 3, and then it's all over again. They're like, well, the Chiefs are champions. I'm not saying that's the route of the Royals, but the Royals have similarities when it comes to what the Chiefs do in power rankings like they'll do this year. The Chiefs lean on their superstars, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. They lean on their coach and Andy Reid. And the way the Royals are going to continuously be able to stay in the power rankings and be a team of, you know, force or a team of sustainability, you lean on Salvador Perez, you lean on Bobby Witt Jr., you lean on Matty Q, and you trust your pitching staff to continue to be what they are. And you have many ingredients that the top power plays in the Major League Baseball organization have to have. You have good starting pitching, you have great defense, you have good team speed. And when you put all that together, you shouldn't see this team slip out of the top 10. And even after going through a grueling gauntlet, after going through all of that in the middle of June, you still see yourself in the top 10 paired with teams like Seattle took 2 out of 3 against the Brewers. I think earlier in the year, you took 2 out of 3. Cleveland, you split that series. Dodgers, you won 1 on the road and played competitive. And the New York Yankees, yeah, you won 1 of 4, but you only got your tails whipped twice. And it was with a starter and a backup, or it was with an opener and a backup starter. But it's awesome, right? Here we are, June 17th, and you're number 8 in MLB's power rankings. Whereas last year, you were like number 32 or 31 when it came to top teams, or 30 or 29 in the MLB. Boston and Dallas have started it as 4-0 Boston early on. There's still 9 minutes left in the first quarter. We'll keep you updated on game 5. Plus, on the other side, 30 years ago today, something very interesting happened when I was just a young buck. Grant wasn't even alive. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Grant Nicholson. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Wake up, kids. You got the dreamer's disease. That's the opening line of the song.
I didn't think you had that one in you. I'll be really? Honest. Yeah.
I loved this song when I was a kid.
It's a good one.
It is one of those ageless songs that even somebody who might not, you know, have ever heard this song from a younger generation, they'd hear it, they'd be like, what was that? Was that song again? Don't worry about it. This is a popular song at like every sort of school dance we'd have. I don't know why I remember that, but I remember it. Now I want to get into something that's interesting because I think it's interesting the older you get in life, and it's pretty interesting what 30 years can do. You know, once you look at it from a perspective. And 30 years ago today, we got this.
It's a very serious situation here, and I can tell you one that is hard to believe with my own eyes.
Conan, how would these people know, listening to their radio, what's going on?
That's the only way, Paul, that I could figure out that the word is caught on. But all these people know that what is happening. They have to. Some are actually entering the number one and number two lanes, yelling, waving their hands, trying to be part of something that is quite frankly very, very awful.
Inside this vehicle, this Ford Bronco in Orange County right now, we understand from the CHP officer is O.J. Simpson. He is armed with a gun. Apparently, he's holding a gun to the head of his friend, Al
So. That audio, obviously, of news station out of California that was talking about O.J. fleeing because his wife was found dead. And then a few days later, he would take off in the white Bronco, which would be something that is interesting because I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the day because I can tell you where I was. As a young lad, I was 6. And for some reason, I still remember that I was getting ready to turn 7. As I'll be 37 this August, I'm getting old. Gray hairs everywhere. Not everywhere. And I remember because my parents lived across the street from my grandparents. My grandmother was a bakery manager at a Price Chopper in Blue Springs for years. So her hours were similar to like Fesco's, right? She'd go into work at 4:30 in the morning. She'd leave at like noon. And I remember when that happened, that started a chain of events where we would go over to my grandparents' house every night and watch what the next developing thing of the O.J. Simpson case was or what the next storyline was. And that's the first time I ever remember where something prolific from two different mediums kind of collaborated as one. And I remember as a kid sitting down on the floor, and even my aunt and uncle and their kids, who they all lived up north off Berry Road, they came to Blue Springs to my Nana's house to watch the next developing thing that would happen with the O.J. Simpson story. And I remember we sat on the floor in a house in Blue Springs and watched that white Bronco for hours and see how that story developed. And then I would remember my dad, who was always the sports guy, would have the other side of it where he was like, yeah, you got to think O.J. Simpson, first 2,000-yard rusher in football, Buffalo Bills standout, Hall of Famer, USC great, is now accused of murdering his wife and the server as well. Ronald Goldman, I believe, was his name. And it shows you that the development in time, because I remember the next real like sports story that really was like a cultural shock or something about, you know, of someone I knew who was a decent athlete but had a huge case go against them was someone like Aaron Hernandez, where murder was involved. And it was like, I remember and I know who Aaron Hernandez is and was. Great tight end at Florida, was part of a great team of New England. And then one day I'm watching TV and I'm watching this guy in handcuffs and a white t-shirt walk out of his house. He's accused of murder and having weapons. And the O.J. Simpson thing was crazy because that was going on in a time where everything in the summer of 94, things were happening left and right. Right? You had one of the biggest World Cup events in the history of the World Cup going on. You had an American team that was decent. You had baseball that was going on a strike or getting ready to go on strike. Ken Griffey Jr. was the number one player in the world. I think he had 31 home runs at the end of June. And all of a sudden, baseball was ending. One of the greatest football players of all time was wanted for murder and fleeing the scene and trailing the cops down the LA freeway. And everybody was involved. I mean, your parents were watching. Your grandparents were watching. Your next door neighbors were watching. And then you had the trial that came with it. And the obviously the choice of to not try him as guilty. Plus you had all the issues going on with the LA cops and everything like that. It was a weird summer and I was 6 years old. And to this day, I still vividly remember the white leather couch, the brown carpet, and the old school big screen TV in my parents' house. Or my grandparents' house. Like, I still remember that. And the reason I remember that is because that summer of 1994 and where we were watching the O.J. Simpson story develop and change drastically every single day. And I don't know where you guys were, 913-586-7610, when it comes to that summer of 1994. Also, if you want a basketball story that was made famous during that, that's when the Indiana Pacers and New York Knicks played. And Reggie Miller did the famous choke sign to Spike Lee on the side because Reggie Miller, I believe, was that the game that he had like 12 points in 13 seconds or whatever it was? And it's crazy how certain things can help us remember dates and times because I'll never forget. I never will forget that. My parents would get home, change real fast. Hey, we're going to walk across the street and go to Nana's house and watch this O.J. Simpson thing. Okay. And I knew more about an O.J. Simpson trial than any 6 or 7 year old probably should have ever known. I knew more about that whole thing. And it's crazy too, because I'm here face to face with a producer and co-host and Grant Nicholson, who wasn't even alive. But even you know enough about that because of how prolific it was. And then of course we get to have fun on the other side of this, or on the same side of this, because I have a list of what the top five songs were in the summer of 1994. Which, there's a lot of bangers on this list. I can't sing them all, but in that summer, you had Salt-N-Pepa, What a Man. Beck's Loser, 30 years old. Can you believe it's,
Lord, that's right? A 30-year-old song?
Beck's been doing it, man. He was 22.
What do you think was on the radio in the White Bronco?
Ugh.
Silence?
Probably, because he had a gun, and he was on the phone talking to people. But your top 10 songs... in 94. Number 10, Prince, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. Number 9, Big Mountain, Baby, I Love Your Way. Number 8, Ace of Base, The Sign, banger. Toni Braxton, number 7, You Mean the World to Me. Number 5, Warren G, Regulate, banger. R.I.P. Nate Dogg. Number 4, Ace of Base, Don't Turn Around. Number 3, Janet Jackson, Anytime. Number 2, Madonna, I'll Remember. And number 1, All for One, I Swear. I swear. But it also makes me think that when you think of this June of 94, 30 years ago, we've all seen the O.J. Simpson documentary. And maybe it's the answer to the out of left field question. But I ask you this, 913-586-7610-J, Southland Tow Service text line. What's the greatest documentary you've ever seen? 913-586-7610, the out of left field question, real simple. What is the greatest documentary that you have ever watched? Ever. 913-586-7610. That's the out of left field question. It's simple. What's the greatest documentary you've ever seen? Grant Nicholson, Dusty Likens. We get 8 o'clock started just after this on After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic view.
Wake up, kids. You got the dreamer's disease. That's the opening line of the song.
I didn't think you had that one in you. I'll be really? Honest. Yeah.
I loved this song when I was a kid.
It's a good one.
It is one of those ageless songs that even somebody who might not, you know, have ever heard this song from a younger generation, they'd hear it. They'd be like, what was that? Was that song again? Don't worry about it. This is a popular song at like every sort of school dance we'd have. I don't know why I remember that, but I remember it. Now I want to get into something that's interesting because I think it's interesting the older you get in life, and it's pretty interesting what 30 years can do. You know, once you look at it from a perspective. And 30 years ago today, we got this.
It's a very serious situation here, and I can tell you one that is hard to believe with my own eyes.
Conan, how would these people know, listening to their radio, what's going on?
That's the only way, Paul, that I could figure out that the word is caught on. But all these people know that what is happening. They have to. Some are actually entering the number one and number two lanes, yelling, waving their hands, trying to be part of something that is quite frankly very, very awful.
Inside this vehicle, this Ford Bronco in Orange County right now, we understand from the CHP officer is O.J. Simpson. He is armed with a gun. Apparently, he's holding a gun to the head of his friend, Al
So. That audio, obviously, of news station out of California that was talking about O.J. fleeing because his wife was found dead. And then a few days later, he would take off in the white Bronco, which would be something that is interesting because I'll never forget that. I'll never forget the day because I can tell you where I was. As a young lad, I was 6. And for some reason, I still remember that I was getting ready to turn 7. As I'll be 37 this August, I'm getting old. Gray hairs everywhere. Not everywhere. And I remember because my parents lived across the street from my grandparents. My grandmother was a bakery manager at a Price Chopper in Blue Springs for years. So her hours were similar to like Fesco's, right? She'd go into work at 4:30 in the morning. She'd leave at like noon. And I remember when that happened, that started a chain of events where we would go over to my grandparents' house every night and watch what the next developing thing of the O.J. Simpson case was or what the next storyline was. And that's the first time I ever remember where something prolific from two different mediums kind of collaborated as one. And I remember as a kid sitting down on the floor, and even my aunt and uncle and their kids, who they all lived up north off Berry Road, they came to Blue Springs to my Nana's house to watch the next developing thing that would happen with the O.J. Simpson story. And I remember we sat on the floor in a house in Blue Springs and watched that white Bronco for hours and see how that story developed. And then I would remember my dad, who was always the sports guy, would have the other side of it where he was like, yeah, you got to think O.J. Simpson, first 2,000-yard rusher in football, Buffalo Bills standout, Hall of Famer, USC great, is now accused of murdering his wife and the server as well. Ronald Goldman, I believe, was his name. And it shows you that the development in time, because I remember the next real like sports story that really was like a cultural shock or something about, you know, of someone I knew who was a decent athlete but had a huge case go against them was someone like Aaron Hernandez, where murder was involved. And it was like, I remember and I know who Aaron Hernandez is and was. Great tight end at Florida, was part of a great team of New England, and then one day I'm watching TV and I'm watching this guy in handcuffs and a white t-shirt walk out of his house. He's accused of murder and having weapons. And the O.J. Simpson thing was crazy because that was going on in a time where everything in the summer of 94, things were happening left and right. Right? You had one of the biggest World Cup events in the history of the World Cup going on. You had an American team that was decent. You had baseball that was going on a strike or getting ready to go on strike. Ken Griffey Jr. was the number one player in the world. I think he had 31 home runs at the end of June. And all of a sudden, baseball was ending. One of the greatest football players of all time was wanted for murder and fleeing the scene and trailing the cops down the LA freeway. And everybody was involved. I mean, your parents were watching. Your grandparents were watching. Your next door neighbors were watching. And then you had the trial that came with it and the obviously the choice of to not try him as guilty. Plus, you had all the issues going on with the LA cops and everything like that. It was a weird summer, and I was 6 years old, and to this day, I still vividly remember the white leather couch, the brown carpet, and the old school big screen TV in my parents' house. Or my grandparents' house. Like, I still remember that. And the reason I remember that is because that summer of 1994 and where we were watching the O.J. Simpson story develop and change drastically every single day. And I don't know where you guys were, 913-586-7610, when it comes to that summer of 1994. Also, if you want a basketball story that was made famous during that, that's when the Indiana Pacers and New York Knicks played. And Reggie Miller did the famous choke sign to Spike Lee on the side because Reggie Miller, I believe, was that the game that he had like 12 points in 13 seconds or whatever it was? And it's crazy how certain things can help us remember dates and times because I'll never forget. I never will forget that. My parents would get home, change real fast. Hey, we're going to walk across the street and go to Nana's house and watch this O.J. Simpson thing. Okay. And I knew more about an O.J. Simpson trial than any 6 or 7 year old probably should have ever known. I knew more about that whole thing. And it's crazy, too, because I'm here face to face with a producer and co-host and Grant Nicholson, who wasn't even alive. But even you know enough about that because of how prolific it was. And then, of course, we get to have fun on the other side of this or on the same side of this because I have a list of what the top five songs were in the summer of 1994. Which, there's a lot of bangers on this list. I can't sing them all, but in that summer, you had Salt-N-Pepa, What a Man, Beck's Loser, 30 years old. Can you believe it's,
Lord, that's right? A 30-year-old song?
Beck's been doing it, man. He was 22.
What do you think was on the radio in the White Bronco?
Ugh.
Silence?
Probably, because he had a gun, and he was on the phone talking to people. But your top 10 songs... In 94. Number 10, Prince, The Most Beautiful Girl in the World. Number 9, Big Mountain, Baby, I Love Your Way. Number 8, Ace of Base, The Sign, banger. Toni Braxton, number 7, You Mean the World to Me. Number 5, Warren G, Regulate, banger. R.I.P. Nate Dogg. Number 4, Ace of Base, Don't Turn Around. Number 3, Janet Jackson, Anytime. Number 2, Madonna, I'll Remember. And number 1, All for One, I Swear. I swear. But it also makes me think that when you think of this June of 94, 30 years ago, we've all seen the O.J. Simpson documentary. And maybe it's the answer to the out of left field question. But I ask you this, 913-586-7610-J, Southland Tow Service text line. What's the greatest documentary you've ever seen? 913-586-7610, the out of left field question, real simple. What is the greatest documentary that you have ever watched? Ever. 913-586-7610. That's the out of left field question. It's simple. What's the greatest documentary you've ever seen? Grant Nicholson, Dusty Likens. We get 8 o'clock started just after this on After Hours.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.